So there was a piece, you know, and I think that whenever I play a Donald Trump soundbite when it comes to trade and what he wants to do, because he insists, and look, a lot of his points here are frustrating to people across the country, understandably so, because there's a lot of unfairness that goes on out there when it comes to all of the manufacturing jobs which have left this country. I think those of us in St. Louis can certainly relate with this. I saw a piece last week with James Bovard, who is the author of Public Policy Hooligan and the Fair Trade Fraud, who's an expert on such topics. So I invited him to come on the show to sort of present a different perspective about who's to blame here this afternoon. James, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
You don't deny, of course, right? You even wrote this in the piece that was in USA Today last week, that the case that he makes, and he was talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and I played the audio when he's talking about the company, I don't know, is it Nabisco that's moving the manufacturing from Chicago to Mexico, and they make Oreo cookies? And
correct.
He said, I'm not even going to ever eat an Oreo cookie again because of what's happening. So he puts the blame on Nabisco. Is that blame improperly placed?
Well, it's totally wrongheaded on his part, and because the thing that's driving away these cookie jobs and the sugar jobs in general is the U.S. Agriculture import quotas on foreign sugar. The thing that's happened is Congress and USDA have driven the price of sugar to double or triple the world price, and because of that, we've lost over 100,000 jobs in food manufacturing over the last 20 years. And they have completely sabotaged U.S. industry on this. And what they have done is destroy more than 10 jobs in manufacturing for every sugar grower in the U.S.
So how have they done that exactly?
It's a complex set of policies. There are price supports. There are import quotas. There are other things that the USDA does to jazz the U.S. market to make sure that there is basically often a shortage of sugar here, even at higher prices, which has been a double whammy for food manufacturers.
So essentially, it's not necessarily, I mean, are you taking all of the responsibility then off of Nabisco or the companies that want to move for this particular reason?
Certainly for the food manufacturing companies. You know, it's interesting how these fights have gone in Congress, because the thing that's happened is the food manufacturers have had some pretty good lobbies. They have fought hard on Capitol Hill to try to get the law changed. But Congress has insisted on shafting American food manufacturers to benefit fewer than 10,000 farmers. And it's been going on for decades that cookie candy manufacturers have moved overseas, moved to Canada, Mexico, or elsewhere, thanks to the high prices and the profound unfairness that they have to deal with, thanks to Congress and USDA.
So why doesn't, you know, because this is one of those seemingly well-kept secrets, if you will, because most people hear the stories, they hear the examples that Donald Trump offers, and they say, yeah, that sounds ridiculous that these companies are moving jobs to Mexico and he wants to slap tariffs on them when they're doing things like this. And we'll get to that in just a second. But the when I read this story that you wrote last week, which makes perfect sense, and one of the ongoing themes of this particular show, you might have heard it in the open, is the way that governments our government creates more problems than it solves. But that doesn't really get discussed very often, does it?
Well, it doesn't. And something like the sugar program is a very obvious case of government doing very stupid things. This is a policy that costs consumers $3 billion a year. It has totally failed to save the job of the sugar growers. The number of those farmers has fallen by almost 50% in recent decades. But Congress gets a lot of money because of this. The sugar lobby has spent more than almost $50 million in campaign contributions and lobbying since 2008. And that's who Congress pays attention to. And it's a very brazen case of Congress taking hostages to benefit their campaign contributors. And it's also a very good reason not to have any faith in Congress being able to create an intelligent trade policy.
James Bovard is my guest. Let's talk about the rest of trade. And you know, Donald Trump makes the case that it's unfair and we do not have a level playing field. He points to NAFTA and some of the other trade deals. Is he right about that?
You know, there are problems with a lot of the trade deals that we've done, but basically it makes a whole lot more sense to open up the borders to any goods the world can make. You know, folks talk about how it's only important for consumers, but there are a vast number of trade barriers that harm American manufacturing that make it far more difficult for them to be competitive on the world markets. And it's good that in the last 10 years, a lot of companies have become far more oriented towards foreign markets in order to, to try to get new customers and broaden their customer base. But a lot of Trump's rhetoric is, nonsense. I was searching for a euphemism. That's the best I could do.
Well, at least the best euphemism you can use without us getting fined by the FCC.
Well, that's true. I was trying to be a proper guest.
But this plays well, I'm not a trade expert. You're a trade expert, but it plays well to people when they hear they're frustrated. The American people are angry about what's gone on, and this issue with manufacturing jobs in this country has been going on for as long as I've been alive, since the 1960s. It's been not something that's more recent in our time, even though it may seem that way to some people. It's been going on for a long time. But you can understand what he's tapped into. So when he says, and I think his supporters fail to understand that he just can't do this with a magic wand, but he says, we're going to slap a tariff on him. And that's going to force them essentially to stay in this country. Is there any kind of realistic application where that might even occur?
No, I mean, because even if Trump is elected president, he would not have the authority to dictate tariffs like that. So that would be up to Congress. Of course,
seems to forget that, by the way.
Right. He seems to forget a lot of things.
Yes.
I mean, he's, I don't know how much time he spent studying Poli-Sci 101. But
why should, I guess let's take the question a step further. Okay, people, his supporters, and I think, again, the anger is justified. So why shouldn't Congress respond and say, we need to level that playing field? We need to do more than we've done when it comes to trade policy, especially with the Chinese. He points toward the Chinese quite a bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is possible for Congress to do a lot of things to help by simply stopping the sabotage of American businesses and American manufacturing. If you look at the health care law that was passed a few years ago, that's had profound adverse effect. There are so many other things that the U.S. government has done to throw wrenches into American manufacturing. If the U.S. government simply stopped sabotaging the efficiency of American businesses, it'd be a hell of a lot more competitive.
So you think that should be the focus instead of just blowing up trade deals and things that perhaps are not even attainable?
I agree. I mean, I am not a fan of these of some of these trade deals that are simply doing favors for specific foreign countries. It'd be a whole lot better simply to lower trade barriers overall. And NAFTA is a good example of a lot of adverse effects trying to do a very close jiggering of the markets, and it was folly, and it's had a lot of other damage down the road.
Do you think it's possible, just in the short term or the long term, to actually revive the manufacturing base in this country?
I think some of it has bounced back in recent years. I think more of it could bounce back if the U.S. government was not making an adverse business environment. So that's probably the most important thing. It would help if American workers had more skills. I mean, this is something which, in contrast to some workers in some places like Germany, I think they've got light years better training programs here. The government schools are turning out millions of high school graduates who really don't know how to read very well, and to have them doing math, good luck with that one. So there are so many things that the government sector has done to weaken American competitiveness.
But the other part of the equation, really, and this is, I think this is important, and I think the CEO of Ford, Mark Fields, talked about this this week, that it certainly seems unfair. NAFTA has this bad rap when it comes to the trade imbalance. But what those trade deals have created for American companies like Ford and others is it's opened up a broader market to the world.
Yeah, and that's very important, and that is the future of American manufacturing, the world market. And it's very important to keep the eye on that market, as opposed to thinking that we can raise, that we can raise barriers and somehow, somehow make ourselves rich by paying twice as much for products like sugar or other products.
So Trump is—he insists that he's not a protectionist, but I'm guessing you would differ on that.
You know, he said a lot of different things. He's not the most consistent politician, but there are very few that are. It would be folly to try and make ourselves rich by making by forcing American consumers to pay far more higher prices. And the worst thing about trade barriers is it gives a lot of arbitrary power to politicians. And if you look at the history of the sugar trade barriers going back 200 years, they've always been idiotic. Sugar is not an industry which the U.S. is competitive in on the world market. Never have been, never will be. Should have gotten out of that long ago. But Congress doesn't care because it works out well for Capitol Hill.
Sugar growers, and I think you mentioned this, sugar growers have declined by almost 50% in recent decades in this country.
In spite of these incredibly high trade barriers, if you look at the average, benefit given to sugar growers compared to other crop farmers, it's 10 or 15 times higher, because many of these very large sugar growers get millions of dollars of benefits from the government trade barriers.
It sets me up for the perfect line, doesn't it? It's a sweet deal. Get it? Well, see what I did there, James? If you can get it.
Okay, well.
But it's true, though.
Well, I hope that's not the highlight of the afternoon.
No, it won't be. They'll be much better. James Bovard, the author of Public Policy Hooligan, The Fair Trade Fraud. I did think that the sugar angle and the government regulation perspective in relating to trade was interesting. So I know you wrote about it. It was in USA Today last week, and thanks for coming on this afternoon.
Hey, thanks so much.
I promise you the show will get better if you know with the one-liners as we move along this afternoon. I'll make that commitment to you.
I appreciate that.
All right, thanks, James. We're coming back with more in a moment.